Okay, John chapter 18, and we're going to look from verse 33. I'll just allow you to remain seated for this. It's verse 33 all the way to verse 38. We won't read the whole passage for the sake of time, but you'll understand the context as Jesus is before Pilate. And verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. Second time he's speaking to Jesus, and he called Jesus and he said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The Old Testament scriptures, we see the prophecies of the prophets declaring why Jesus was born, where he was going to be born, and why he was going to be born. We also see the fulfillment take place in the New Testament scriptures. Jesus himself said to the Pharisees and the religious rulers in John 5, 39, he says, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And he says, And they are that they which testify of me. He goes on to say that the Old Testament scriptures testifies of Jesus Christ. For in him is life eternal, eternal life. In the passage before us, we'll see that Jesus Christ himself declares why he came into this world, the purpose of him, or the cause in why he was born into this world. Why did God become a man? Why was he born into this world? And he answers that he came for the specific reason to testify of the truth. And then Pilate returns and he says, Well, what is truth? And it's a good question, isn't it? What is truth? Are we going to have some of those verses, Ray, on the screen? Okay, we'll look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and this cause came I into the world, that I shall bear witness of the truth. Thank you for that, Ray. To bear witness of the truth. And the reason why I want these scriptures to be on the screens, so many scriptures that we've got to get to in so little time. And we'll have some passages that we'll turn to. But please stay focused, because these verses that are going to come up there, you can note them down, read them later, but very important to the subject of what is truth. So what is truth, and where do we find truth? Where do we find it? And what is it? Well, number one, truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. And Jesus said, I am the way and what? The truth. So it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ in his person. Second of all, it's found in the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter has come, Jesus said, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? Truth. Which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, who will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And thirdly, we see that the truth is found in the Scriptures. We all know that the Word of God, the Bible says in the Bible, the 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. And then there He was praying in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But also truth can be found in the church. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the house of truth. Amen. In what ways was it founded, the church? It was founded on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the truth of God's word. So the church, therefore, collectively are believers in the truth and therefore have given a great commission by God to declare and propagate the truth. So it's found, or let me just say, it should be found in the church of God. It should be found in the church of God, the very foundation in which we build upon, and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and the prophets there also. And the reason why the prophets and the apostles are mentioned is because they had a message from God, and the message was given from God to give to the people. We're going to see that a bit later on. That's proclaiming the truth of the word of God needs to take place in the church of God. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, that there are many that have turned their ears from the truth. And they're going about trying to establish their own sugar-coated messages. And the church should never be deviating from the truth, especially about the truth of the make of man, male and female. The truth of the depravity of man and how he's a fallen creature. And the truth about the remedy, how it's in Christ, the remedy for man, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. But we also see the truth is found in the gospel. In the gospel, Colossians chapter 1, 3 and verse 5, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of truth of what? Of the gospel. The word of truth of the gospel. So another question we need to ask then, this is where it could be shared. Surely you could dig deep and have messages on these different things that we had spoken about, but this is just in the way of introduction. But why do we need truth? Why did we need Jesus Christ to come into the world and testify of the truth? Well, number one, let me just say, to expose the lies that lead us to destruction. The devil is the father of all lies. The Bible says in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from when? The beginning, and abode not in the what? Truth, because there was no truth in him. By the way, you would not find truth in the devil. You're just not going to find any truth, any at all, in the devil. And he was the father of lies all the way from the beginning. And here we have Jesus Christ testifying of the truth to expose error and the lies of Satan, to deliver us from the destruction to come, that he may come as the light of the world to expose the devil's works. And only that, to destroy the works of the devil. And by the way, you will never find truth in the flesh. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. No, not for a second in the flesh. The only thing that dwells in us as a believer is the Holy Spirit of God, and that is the one that is the truth. But in our flesh, in us, in our make, if you would, because of the falling man we are, there's no truth in us. There's no truth in this flesh. It lieth no truth in this flesh. Our minds, praise God, can be renewed. And there's no truth in the world today. You'll never find truth in the world. There are people in the world, the Bible mentions in Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever, amen, talking about the Creator. But the world is out about changing the truth of God into a lie. And he's there to expose the truth. The world want to worship the creature rather than the Creator. Not only idols, but they've made men to be idols. Sports, entertainment, this, that, and the other. People know more about sport than they know more about the Bible. And so they worship man. They make idols of them. You're not going to find the truth. And we're talking about truth regarding eternity, things pertaining unto life and godliness, things that are eternal, things that are going to last. We're not talking about the truth of something that is made or technology or a phone or whatever. We're talking about truth for life and godliness, things that matter, things that we ought to be concerned about. You're not going to find out the truth out there in the world. And if you find something that is of truth, it's because it's established in the Word of God. If you find something out there on the internet or something there on YouTube or whatever it is, it's because they have dig deep in the Word of God. And thank God for people that are trying to be a light and trying to be a salt. But if you're going out in the world to dig for truth and try and find the answers of life, you won't find them outside of the Word of God. You won't find him in Satan, you won't find him in the flesh, and you won't find him in the world. Where would you find him? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Where would you find it? In the Spirit of God, in the Church of God, or it should be in the Church of God, in the Scriptures, and also we see, we find it in the Holy Bible, the New Testament. But you're not going to find it out there in the world. You'll find it in the Gospels, but not in the world. And so why did he come? So he came to expose the lies of the ungodly Trinity. The devil, the flesh, and the world. That's the ungodly Trinity. And to come and expose that so we're not fallen into our destruction. But then second of all, we need the truth to lead us to the right decisions and set the right directions for us. Thomas said, how do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Amen? I am the way. And in Psalm 119, 105, the Bible mentions that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's good for the here and now. And it's good for the way of eternity. You know, someone once said that the Proverbs is heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. But it's also for our soul salvation. It's for us to direct us not only in the decisions that we make for our family collectively and as a church, but also in our lives, but also it's for heavenly decisions that we'd make. I mean, I don't know about you, but the greatest decision that anyone could make is the things regarding about heaven and hell. That's the greatest decision. It's not about marriage. Marriage is a good decision. You don't want to marry the wrong person. Praise God. The greatest decision that you and I could ever make is receiving Christ as our Savior or not, heaven or hell. Receiving the word of truth, the gospel. But the word of God or the truth of the word of God also helps us to know how to worship God. It shows us who he is and shows us how he desires to be worshipped. Notice what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John 4:23. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You get that? The true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it goes on to say that that's what God, the Heavenly Father, is pleased with. Those that worship him in spirit and truth, true worshippers of God. And the Word of God, the Word of truth, is able to help us to know how to worship him his way. Very important that we understand that. And Jesus set the way, he paved the way. And by the way, let me just say, worship doesn't only mean our worship in our singing, but worship in our giving, in the way we present our bodies, a living sacrifice. It takes a step of faith, a life of faith. Those simply that walk in this world, that are saints of God, must walk a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And it's a hard walk, tough walk, but simple. And it's only simple as every time we just said, okay, Lord, that's right. Yes, I'll trust you. Oh yeah, that's right, Lord, you're right. Yep, I'll trust you again. And we take every step based upon the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God comes and I act upon the word of God and I take a plunge of faith. And it's very sad that if you and I never ever step to the word of God that we hear day by day, week by week. Every time we get convicted by the word of God and we don't step out by faith, we don't grow and we're not heading where God wants us to be. It's a life of faith in giving our lives in a very selfless way, a sacrificial way, presenting our bodies holy and acceptable unto God. And the truth of the word of God tells us or teaches us how he desires to be worshipped and how he wants our steps to be ordered in the word of God. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You won't go wrong if you have your steps ordered by the truth of the word of God. As a matter of fact, you'll make bad decisions in life is when you hear the truth and you don't step by faith. You know what you need to do and you don't do it? That's a bad decision. But every good decision made is when you hear the word of God, you take a plunge of faith and you say, yes, Lord, you're right. I'm going to do that. I want to worship you. I want to please you. But also the word of God, the word of the truth, tells us or teaches us how to live. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Praise God for that. Someone once said to me, Charlie, you've been brainwashed. What's happened to you? I said, yeah, I've had the best washing in the world. Well, who do you want me to be brainwashed from? Hollywood? And we can go on and on and on and on and again. Someone's always been brainwashed by someone else. Amen? I'd rather be brainwashed by God because he has the truth. And in him lies no darkness, no wickedness. He's holy, he's right and righteousness in everything that he does. He's true and every judgment is perfect. I'd rather be washed by him than washed by the world. But then he goes here, by the renewing of your mind, and that you put on the new man. By the way, let me just say, it takes a person by putting off first the old man. Don't ever try to put on new on the old. That's what you get frustrated in your Christian walk, because you're not prepared to put off the old man. You want to put on the new man on the old man. It's going to get frustrated Christian walk. We've got to put off the old man before we can put on the new man. Amen? Certain areas in our lives that we need to put off and lay aside. He says, which after God is created in what? Righteousness. This is the new man. And true holiness. This is verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are the members of one another. For the truth of the word of God teaches us how to be truthful to our neighbor, how to live with this society, how to live with one another. And I'm sure that you Christians, you growing Christians as well, you now understand that we don't chuck sickies when we're not sick. Amen. That's not being truthful. And I hope and pray that you don't teach your kids to chuck sickies if they're not sick from school. That if you just don't want to go to school for some reason, you just tell the teacher that you're not going to go for school. You don't tell them that they're sick when they're not. You know what, really, that you're teaching your children, you're not teaching them integrity. You're teaching them to lie and to deceive. But we need to be people of truth. We need to be very sensitive, not to exaggerate the truth or not to give half of the truth, but to live in truth with our neighbor. We ought to lie not, but live in truth. We ought to be honest, people of integrity. But also the word of truth teaches us how to love in truth. The Bible in the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 mentions that charity rejoices not in iniquity. Love doesn't rejoice in sin, but rather rejoices in what? In what? Truth. And so I need to abhor the very things that God abhors, iniquity, sin, lies, whatever it is. And I need to love the very things that are true. I need to be a person that loves truth in order for me to live a life of love to others. It's very hard to love others if I don't love truth. It's very difficult to love in a very pure way if I'm not a person that loves truth. True love is forgiving. True love is admitting. True love is restoring. 1 John 3:18, the Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Anyone can say, I love you, right? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Stop it, I can't see it. You're hurting me. It's like a tinkling, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. It's noise. But when it's accompanied by true sacrificial self-love giving, unconditional love, those words become sweet, both practiced to our neighbor and to God the Father. The Word of God itself teaches us how to love in truth, how to love by the Spirit of God. Lastly, we need the truth because it sets us free. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of God's word is liberating. It's able to set us free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of this flesh, if you would. The Bible says in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I mean, if Jesus liberates you, you're going to be liberated. I mean, if he saves you and sets you free from the truth of your depravity, that you're a sinner and there's nothing that you can ever do to earn salvation, there's nothing that you could do in your works to earn heaven because you're a sinner. If you come under that truth, then you can come under the truth that God is a great Savior. And he's the one that liberates us. When we try to liberate ourselves, we're not liberated. When we try to work for our salvation, when we try to do this or that for salvation, that's not true liberty. True liberty comes in through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ, his name and his work together, and me receiving what he's done. If I try to live the Christian life without Christ, I'm not liberated. True liberty is found in Christ. He frees us from the penalty of sin, but also he frees us from the very power of sin. It's called sanctification. God sets me in a direction where I grow as a Christian. Can I just say this morning? If you're not growing as a Christian to be more like Christ, there's something wrong with your faith. There's something wrong with your liberation. Being liberated. Listen, let me say, true liberty sets us from religion. Because religion, when you try to do this or that or that or this or whatever, you're going to fall short. But true religion is what? And undefiled is this: God working a sanctification in our lives that we are unspotted from the world. We're nothing like it. Yeah, he saves us and he pulls us out and he wants to clean us up to look like him and become a peculiar people and become the offspring or the scum of the world. Well, at least to those that hate the word of God. But to those that do, we're a sweet smelling savor. We have a common bond. But that's what needs to take place. Liberty sets us in the right direction, and that's the way of Christ. You know, when we say we're a Christian, we're really saying we are in the way of the truth. We are in the way of the Word, and it is the Word of God that sets our direction. And the Word of God is powerful to quicken us and to work effectually in us to be more like him and less like the world. So there's a growing process. Liberation from sin. He is able to liberate us from the penalty of it and from the power of it. We ought not to be in 2015 what we were in 2014. There always needs to be a pushing forward and a growing in Christ. What's changed? We need to see what's changed in us in 2014. And what God, this is the only thing that I don't want to be content in. I want you to do more and more by the word of truth. I want you to grow me. I want you to help me and sanctify me and set me apart more and more. Paul the Apostle says, I lose to win. I lose my what? All things. I count them but dung, rubbish, nothing, just rubbish to win Christ and to know the power of his resurrection. This is the true life, the power of his resurrection, true living, living life as a Christian here on earth. Wow, it's exciting. It's challenging. But God is able to free us indeed from the very strongholds that are bounding on us. Every single person, no matter how long you've been in the Christian faith, you have strongholds. You do. We're never going to come to the point of our lives that we're free from any stronghold. And if something comes and God helps us deal with it, something else He will reveal to us. And it keeps happening. And maybe the very thing that He worked in our lives creeps up again. Because that's the very thing that we're fighting the most. You know, everyone's got strongholds and everyone's got a stronghold that's almost custom made for you that you're always battling with. You battle with all these other ones, but this one that keeps coming back, and we need God's grace for that day by day. And that will be the very probably thorn in our flesh that will help us keep close to God and expose our life that we're not really who we are. And Christ shows us how many people are just thrown back at the fact that God could show you something and He just points it very clearly in your life. And you're like, whoa, I'm not where I should be, but dear God, I want to be. Help me. Help me keep pressing forward toward the mark. Help me reach forth toward the prize, the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And not only that, but free and liberated indeed from the body of this death. You know, one day He's going to give us a new body. And when you're free indeed. When you have this new body and this glorious body, as the Bible says, and be with the Lord forever, man, you're really free. I'm talking about being free. I hope some of you don't love your body that much that you want to keep it. I hope that you don't tender. Hope you can tender and clean and love the spirit, the inner man, more than your outward man. Yeah, bodily exercise profit, how much? Little. But we need to focus and be diligent, be the inner man and clean that wicked heart and be very tender to those things. Because those things, the sins of the spirit, is what the Lord is really concerned about. Amen? And God is able to deliver us free from sin, from the penalty of power, one day from the very presence. But thank God when we do fall, He's up to pick us up by His grace. Thank God for the truth of His mercy and His grace in our lives. I want you to see the second part of John chapter 8, verse 37. It says, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Notice what he says in the last part of that verse. It says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Wow. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. To hear his voice means to believe the truth. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. To hear His voice means to believe His truth. And not only that, to hear His voice means to obey the truth. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. He makes mentions that we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. So to hear the voice of God is to believe the truth, and second of all is to obey the truth. 1 Peter 4:17, for this time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Wow. I mean, we can still stand before God and give an account, but how much more are those people that don't hear His voice, don't obey the truth of the Word of God when they hear it and they reject it, how much more are they going to be judged for their sin? Thank God that every single person that hears the voice of Jesus Christ and believes on Him and obeys the gospel, that's the very thing, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for us, is simply freed from the judgment to come because Jesus Christ has taken our judgment. But what about that person that doesn't obey the gospel? That person that hears the truth and doesn't really do anything about it? Well, the Bible says that the judgment will come in their lives. That's God's desire, that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. In 1 Timothy 2:4, he says, "For who will have all men to be what? Saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God's desire is for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's against God's will that people be judged for their sin and go to a devil's hell. But God cannot be blamed if the people don't repent and turn back from their wicked ways and turn to God through Jesus Christ. God cannot be blamed. God has made a way out, and that way out is through the ark, which is Jesus Christ, the only door to heaven. And if people don't want to enter in the way and the truth and the life, then you can't blame God for that. It's against God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants them to come to repentance. And by the way, repentance is born or can start taking place when we hear the truth. Notice this verse, 2 Timothy 2:25. He says, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure or suppose will give them repentance to the what? To the acknowledging of the truth." The ones that hear his voice are the ones that believe on the truth, obey the truth, but also love the truth. They love the truth. In John chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus said, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." In other words, when God exposes the truth of his word to their lives, they're willing to come into the light and agree and confess to God that, yes, you're right. It's almost like that man, that thief on the cross, when he confessed to God, "We deserve to die. This man had done nothing wrong, done nothing wrong." Can you turn to 2 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. To hear his voice means to love the truth. To love the truth. Oh, many a times I'd probably mention to you that there's two ways and you can respond to the truth of the Word of God. You can respond in a way where you're admitting, you know, when I look at this and I say, "You know what, Lord, your word is true. And there are so many things in there that are conflicting with my nature. So many things in there that is so hard for me to do in the flesh. But by your grace, I know that I can live it. And I admit that I want to submit myself under it. I love it." You read the psalmist, Psalm 119, how much they love thy law. They love thy law. They love thy law. They esteem the word of God more than their daily food. It's just, I agree with it. I love it. Though I can't keep it, only by your grace I can. Or you can respond to it by arguing the truth. It's very difficult for me. I was just speaking to some of our friends from Faith Baptist Church to disciple some people when they argue with the word of God. And you can say, "Oh, that's true. It's hard to do. May God give us the grace to do it." But to argue the word of God when the truth is right there and to argue it away, that's a bad way to respond to the truth. You love the truth. God's word is settled forever in heaven. That's it. It's settled. God's word is true. That's it. And it ought to be so strong in our lives that God's word, we love it to the end like that. We don't argue. If something seems to be confusing, Lord, help me understand it better. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. I've got to love the Word of God. I've got to love the Lord because the Word of God, he elevates it above his name. It's his integrity. It's his word. It's his promise. And I need to love it. I need to embrace it. But notice the people that don't, what happens. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And then he's talking about the future things to come. Paul speaking to the church here. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, praise God, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. He just has to appear. Wow. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. What's new? What's new? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. That's why. And you know what else is going to take place? Because they would not be saved. They receive not the love of the truth, so that they may not be saved. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. You know what Paul this said to the Corinthians? That if any man love not the Lord, he is a what? He is accursed. He is accursed. We need to love the very word of God. We need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to love the word. And when you hear his voice, you love the word. You love it. They're not grievous to you. They're a delight. They're not burdensome, but they're rather a delight to you. And I know sometimes that the word of God can be burdensome to the Christian, but that's only when he's not living right in submission to the word of God. He's not responding to correction and instruction. He's being stubborn and proud. But collectively, in the depth of your heart, you love the word, you know it's true. And to hear the voice means that you continue in truth. In 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it is, had taught you, ye shall abide in him. Continue, he says. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have the confidence and not be ashamed before his appearing. And so what's the evidence, if you would, of a Christian or someone that continues in the word? Someone that God continues to work in their hearts. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, if he says to the Pharisees or to the religious rulers that believed, he says, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. That's the proof of you believing on me, that if you continue. That's the truth of what's taken place in a person's life, that God's Spirit quickens them and enables them to keep on keeping on. Well, I want to take you to a few other passages before we close. What are other evidences or the fruit that proves that we are of the truth? Well, in 1 John 4:6 says, we are of God. He's talking about the apostles here. He says, we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This kind of brings you back to when he says, go two by two to every house, knock on the door. If they receive you, bless them. If not, dust the feet and keep moving. They don't receive you, just keep moving. You know what they're really doing? They're rejecting the truth of God's word. And people that receive the truth, and one day, you're sitting here, you receive the truth that someone shared to you through a tract, through a book. You receive that truth. You read that chapter, the truth of who Jesus is and why he came to do, the Christ, the living God, the one that is born in the flesh. That's why it's very hard to fathom the concept of Jehovah's Witnesses being Christians. Because they don't believe that he's the Christ, the anointed one of God, God with us, God in the flesh. Why do you think 1 John was written? A part of the portion was, there are some people that are coming with error. Don't even bid in God's speed. Don't even say, God bless you, make your way. Don't even invite him in your house if they don't believe that he is the Holy One, God in the flesh, the Christ. He says, if you believe our record, you believe that Jesus Christ in the flesh, that he came to do what he did, you receive that message. This is how we know that you are of the truth or you are of the error. If you reject that message, then you are not of the truth. Second of all, in Ephesians 5:9, the Bible says, what is the evidence and the fruit that proves that we are of the truth if we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us? See, the fruit of the Spirit is all in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And the truth that teaches us, the truth that enables us, Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you both to what? Will and do of his good pleasure. God, through the Holy Spirit of God, helps us and gives us the will and gives us the doing of the very truth that he conveys to our lives. Thirdly, the evidence and the fruit that proves that we are of the truth is when we have a relationship with God. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth, and what? And we do not the truth. We have fellowship with God. And you know what? I understand this to be true. A Christian can be out of fellowship when they sin. We know that. Right? When a Christian sins, they can be out of fellowship and they need to get back with God. A Christian can still deceive themselves. But one of the greatest truths that we are of the truth is when we have an intimate relationship with God. And yes, when we do sin, we tell him about it. And we don't deceive ourselves. We have this fight that goes on within us. I mean, if you're a Christian, if you say you're a Christian and you can enjoy sin, there's something wrong. If you don't have that struggle and you don't say, Lord, oh, forgive me for that. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry for that. He says, if you say that you have no sin, the truth is not in you. Man, we struggle in this body of death. It's part of walking. It's a relationship with God that takes place. And you don't struggle with sin and you can let sin go and sin here and sin there and sin there and live life like this sin doesn't exist in your life. There's something wrong with your relationship with God. Fourthly, the evidence and the fruit that proves that we are of the truth is a desire to keep and live by the truth. He says in 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Notice quickly in closing, for you and I to continue in the truth, we must be in Christ. There's no other way. We must be in Christ. Paul the Apostle said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We must be in Christ. And the beginning of his, I didn't skip this purposely in the beginning, but in John 8:37, notice in the beginning of what he said to the answer, to the purpose of him being born. He said, Pilate said to him, art thou a king then? Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And a king needs to reign, amen? And we understand that Jesus Christ will take that covenant, that kingdom, and he will sit at the right hand of God forever and ever. Therefore, there needs to be a resurrection. And that resurrection will give us the hope of living the victorious life in Christ. I don't have time to go into it, but if you look into the 1 Corinthians 15, you'll understand what Paul said. If we don't have the resurrection, we are all what? We are miserable. If all we have is life in this world, we are most men miserable. And the resurrection was trying to be simply disregarded, disproven, or someone would even say, oh, it's already taken place, to weaken the faith of the believers. The resurrection plays a big part in the way we live here on earth. That truth, my friend, will be the very key for you to live a life that is victorious in Christ. T.H. Spurgeon said, God promised to David that his seed should always sit upon his throne. But if Jesus dies, then is that covenant broken? That Jesus' reign may endure forever. He must live. Though he bows his head in death, yet he must live. He must rise again, otherwise the king is gone. The throne is vacant. The covenant has failed. Jesus must rise from the dead, as how can he save his people? Can a dead Christ save us? The Church of Rome continually sets before us Christ either as a baby in his mother's arms or else a man dead on the cross. Neither of these is a true portrait of Christ. He's no more a baby and he's no more dead. He sits on the throne of God, reigning and ruling, and he will come the second time without sin unto salvation. The living Christ is our hope. It is the witness of him that he lives at the right hand of God. And as I quoted to you just now, it is for this reason that he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. And so the question is he your king? Is Jesus Christ the king of your salvation? And then we can say, is Jesus Christ the king of your life here on earth? It's how you view Jesus. It's all right to remember that little babe that came to save us, amen. It's okay to look at the broken body of Christ. As a matter of fact, we've been instructed to do that, to kind of revive us and just kind of remember that precious gift given to us. But he's sitting at the right hand of God. All power is given to him. He makes intercession for us, that we may be a people that not only hear the truth of the word of God, but be a people that lives the truth here on earth. And to make that truth a reality in our lives, in every sense of the word. He that is of the truth, he is my voice. They know me and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they follow me. Are you of the truth? And if he is the king of your salvation, can I say this? Is he the king of your life? Has he governed every area of your life? Every area. Every day you say, God, I'm off the throne, you're on. I'm off the throne, I'm dead to self. Paul the Apostle, I die daily for the purpose of living the truth in his life. What is truth? This word, what we have here, which the world is trying to destroy. And may God help you by his grace and by the power of his resurrection to keep every word of God. Every word. No man lives by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And may God help us by live by his truth for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.